Turn in your Bibles to the sixth chapter of the book of John. The sixth chapter of the book of John. And while you are turning, two things. Number one, my heartfelt appreciation and thanks to Brother Pierce for filling the pulpit while I was away on Wednesday evening. And the revival meeting at Clayton was truly a great revival. There were souls saved in every service except one. The last evening, a woman past 60 years of age professed faith in the Lord Jesus and was wonderfully saved and added to the church for baptism. We had a 20-year-old young man saved and a 12-year-old and 13-year-old girl saved in other services. And the pastor and Bethel Baptist Church send their love to you and ask you to continue to pray for them and pledge their prayers to you. My subject this morning is the peril of false discipleship. The peril of false discipleship. And in the sixth chapter of the book of John, I shall begin reading with verse 5. Keep your Bibles open when we have finished reading, because we will be referring to various scriptures in this chapter of God's Word. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come with him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself, or Jesus, knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little or just a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, or the 5 barley loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which had remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Now notice verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Look at verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Look at verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Look at verse 48. I am that bread of life. Then verse 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" I better read that verse again. Many therefore of his what? Many therefore of his disciples. Do you remember the subject, the peril of false discipleship? Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. Just prior to this feeding of the 5,000 men, besides women and children, Jesus had performed other miracles by healing people who were diseased with various infirmities. And after the miracle of healing of those with various diseases, the multitude began to increase, the company became enlarged. And as Jesus looked upon this vast company of people, he spoke to Philip, one of his true disciples, and said, "When shall we buy bread that we might feed these, that these people might eat?" And Philip answered him and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little or just a little." And in that group there was another true disciple who was a very discerning man. And this is his characteristic every time he is mentioned in the Word of God. And this man's name is Andrew. And as Andrew looks into the midst of the vast number of people who have assembled around Jesus and has his ears attuned to the interrogation of the Son of God, "When shall we buy bread that we might feed these people?" And Philip's answer that 200 penny worth would not be sufficient for even just a little for each of the people that was present, Andrew knowingly observes a young boy in the crowd. And this young boy had brought his lunch, because oftentimes Jesus spoke a long time. And Andrew observed that this young man had 5 barley loaves and 2 little fishes. And he brings him to Jesus and says, there is a lad here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 little fishes. Now notice the question, but he says, what are these, or what are these barley loaves and these fishes among so many? Now if you learn nothing else, learn this, that little is much when God is in it. And the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fishes and the little lad are brought to Jesus. And he gives these barley loaves and fishes to the Son of God. And in this grassy area, Jesus tells the people to be seated. And they are seated, and Jesus prays over the bread and blesses it, and over the fishes and blesses them. And then he tells his true disciples to begin to distribute among those who are present. And as Jesus blesses the bread and blesses the fishes, there is a miracle of multiplication. And there is an act of faith as the disciples begin to distribute the food that was there. And so the first part of the sermon is, a miracle was performed. I do not think this is symbolic language. I do not think this is spiritual language. I believe this is literal language. And I believe when the Lord blessed the fishes and the bread, that they were multiplied because of the mighty miraculous power of the Son of God. The second thing we note is that a multitude is fed. Have you ever had just barely enough to eat and got up from a place where you were eating hungry? I'm sure in the busy schedule of many who are present today, there have been a few occasions when you ate very lightly because of a tight schedule and were actually hungry when you finished eating. But the second part of the lesson is that a multitude is not only fed, but they have plenty, because we read in verse 12, when they were filled, when they had had plenty, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing is lost. So, Brother Alvin, not only were they fed, but they were filled. And not only did the 5,000 men eat, but the women and the children that were with them also ate and were filled. And then Jesus teaches a lesson against waste and tells them to gather up that which remains. And there are 12 basketfuls of the fragments which remain, and there is more at the end than there was from the beginning. And we learn from this lesson, when we turn whatever we have over to God, He can not only multiply it, but He can give us more at the end than we had at the beginning. I believe every word of that. Now they're satisfied. They're filled. The miracle has been performed. The multitude fed. And now it is time for a message. And when we come to God's house, we enjoy the singing and the praying. We enjoy the sweet fellowship. But the most important hour of any worship service is when the message is delivered. So the message is about to be delivered, and it begins with stinging power. In verse 26, when Jesus speaks to them and says, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. The same multitude is present. They're coming after him. They had seen the miracles. And Jesus said, you're not seeking me because you saw my miraculous power manifested in the multiplication of the fishes and of the bread. But the reason you're here is because you ate and you were filled. The reason you're here is because you are a fleshly disciple. You're thinking only of your own flesh and your own blood. And he tells them in verse 27, to labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So the message begins with stinging power as he warns them the only reason they are following him is the possibility that they might be fed again. The message continues, and he tries to get their spiritual attention. Because he says in verse 35, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He is saying to them, you have eaten and you were filled, but there's coming a time when you shall be hungry again. And that's why you are following me. Why don't you recognize I am the bread of life? And if you come to me, you'll never be hungry again. If you come to me, you'll never thirst again. And if the Bible teaches anything, it teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ can fulfill the hungering of any soul that's outside of mercy, can quench the thirst of any person who is outside of the ark of safety. In fact, the only thing that can satisfy the spiritual hunger and the spiritual thirst of that person who is a lost sinner is the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. He continues to preach. In this message, he says, no man can come to me, verse 44, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. He wants to tell them that if they're really and truly the right kind of disciples, if they're genuine disciples, that they did not come out of their own volition as they had to eat the bread on that occasion, but men who come to the true bread of life must be drawn by the mighty power of the Father which is in heaven. And Baptists have taught throughout their existence, unless a man is convicted and moved by the Holy Spirit, he'll never come to know Christ as his Savior. Jesus didn't say, you won't come. Jesus said, no man can come except my Father which is in heaven draw him. That's why we come. When we come to the house of God, we ought to pray above everything else that there would be felt in our midst the drawing power of God's Spirit in his house. Because unless God draws people, they will be fleshly false disciples, and not disciples who have been quickened by the Spirit of God. So the message gets increasingly stronger as he proceeds. In verse 48, he tells them plainly, I am that bread of life. Do you want to eat where you will never hunger? Do you want to drink where you will never thirst? Jesus says plainly, I am that bread of life. The message continues. This is that bread, verse 58, which came from heaven Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forevermore. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you?" Now get the picture. Get the picture. He's in the synagogue still preaching on the bread of life. He tries in his miraculous, majestic, marvelous way to make it so simple. Oh, he doesn't try. He makes it so simple that a child can understand. "I am that bread." And Brother Pierce, he reaches back into the past as he speaks to these people and reminds them of their fathers that wandered in the wilderness. Just the mention of father can stir somebody's heart. How many of you have fathers who are dead and you remember something beautiful about that father? Let's see your hand. How many of you have fathers who are living, who on many occasions you have sought their wise counsel and they have lifted you up? Let's see your hand. And brethren, there have been many times since my old father died that I have wished that I could have his counsel. So Jesus touches a tender spot and says, "Do you remember your fathers that ate manna in the wilderness?" And he refers to the time when God miraculously provided them with the manna from heaven. But he says to them, "Your fathers are dead." Albeit that manna was a temporary provision to carry them through a certain period. "Oh, they did eat miraculously, but your fathers are dead." And then he said to them, "I'm the real manna, I'm the true bread. And if you partake of me, you shall live forever." And many of his disciples, remember the subject, the peril of false discipleship. Many of his disciples heard these things and said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" And when Jesus tells you something as plain as the nose on my face, and you say it is an hard saying, you are revealing the condition of your own heart. Because regardless of whether it is hard or soft, whatever Jesus says, men ought to listen to the Son of God. And Jesus knew that his disciples murmured, these false disciples. And then he raises another question. "If this offends you, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up to heaven where he was before?" Now, why did you raise that question, C.M.? He's told them he's the true bread, he's the true manna that came down from the Father. And he says, "This has offended you. What if out yonder in the future you see the Son of Man ascend back to where he was?" What he is telling them is, not only did I come down from heaven to do my Father's will, but the time is coming when I'm going back to my Father that I might have the glory that I had with him before the world was. So if it offends you that I'm the bread that came down from heaven, how much more Shall you be offended if I tell you that one day in power I'm going back to where I was? He continues the message. After the murmuring, it's the spirit that quickeneth. Verse 63, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto thee, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who there were that believed not and who would betray him. Now listen, here's the strongest part of the sermon. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me. He's quoting what he's already said in verse 44, except it were given him of my Father. From that time, the time that he quoted his own saying, no man can come to me except it were given him of my Father which is in heaven. From the time he quotes it in verse 65, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Many of his disciples went back. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Where did they go? They went back to their own ways. Proverbs 14 and 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. They went back to their own ways. We'll not listen to this man who says he is the bread of life. We'll go back to our way. They went back to the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But whoso doeth the will of God shall abide forever. They had not done the will of God. They were there for the lust of the flesh, to be fed with more loaves of bread. So they go back into the world as they walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ. They went away to their ways and to the world. And they not only went back to the world and their ways, they went back to vindicate their own rejection of the Son of God and their own depravity. Now you listen to me, and you listen carefully. If somehow there was a person in this service who had the power to take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and bless it and miraculously feed just this number who are present in this congregation, approximately 100, and the news was noised abroad in Jacksonville that that had been done, I can guarantee you that other people would begin to flock, other people would begin to come because of the sensation of the miracle that had been performed. And yet these people were so hard-hearted that they did not come just because they saw the miracle, but in order to be filled. And Jesus says, "You will not come to me." John 5:40, "that you might have life." You literally will not to come to the Son of God. You don't want to come. They went back to their ways, to the world, to vindicate their own depravity. You know why, Brother Davis? Because they were false disciples. Just mere professors of Christianity. Just joiners, if you please. They were not disciples that had truly experienced a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know? Because the next question was, as he turned to his disciples, and notice the word disciples is used again, "Will you also do what? Tell me. Are you going away also?" And Simon Peter, a true disciple, said, "To whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life." I sat in the home of Bob Gregg this past week, and in the home of Colonel and Noreen Acker. As I talk to them about the Lord, I said, in this hour of bereavement and unexpected tragedy and trauma, there's only one place that you can go. And that's right. And dear church, in your hours of sorrow and bereavement and heartbreak, there's only one place you can go, that's the Lord. Dear friend, when your soul is thirsting and hungering for the wellsprings of eternal truth that will refresh like a bubbling spring, there's only one place you can go, and that's to the Lord. When you come to an hour of trial, there's only one place you can go, that's to the Lord. When you come to the hour of sickness and death, there's only one place you can go, that's to the Lord. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The peril of false discipleship. A miracle was performed. A multitude was fed. A message was delivered. A murmuring occurred. And then the final mirror of what those people really were came to life when those who wanted the bread went away, and those who wanted the Lord remained. Now, what do you want this morning? What do you want? Do you want the frivolities of a large crowd that just wants the bread? Or do you want the Lord? Well, if you want the bread,
you're going to hunger again. But if you want the Lord, He'll not only fill you, but He'll satisfy you. And you'll never hunger, and you'll never thirst. Let's sing.
Number 197. May we stand together, please.